Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the Bible's own way, and we are excited for another day of grace. I'm excited that you are here with us today, and those that are listening through our internet ministries, we thank you for tuning in, and the phone calls and the emails that we get from you, the encouragement and the questions that we have, it's just really exciting. We're going to be singing Jesus Paid It All this morning, number 19 in your songbook. And one, two, three, four, there's only three. So we'll sing three verses this morning.
Savior say, thou strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thou all in all. Jesus pay it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, washed it white as snow. Oh, nothing good I find, whereby thy grace obtained. I washed my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left us crimson stained. He washed it.
Sing number three again.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin have left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Amen. Genesis chapter 4. Lesson 35 in the book of Genesis, as we study the book of Genesis, and we left off in chapter 4, verses 25 to 26. Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth, for God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, what was society, according to what we looked at last week a little bit, what was society like before verse 25? Remember? It wasn't good, was it? The self-centered people were falling in the way of Cain. They was running the governments. They was running the industry. They was running everything. In fact, Verse 19, promiscuous, lust was going on. Verse 20, agriculture advancements. 21, advancements in the arts. 22, metallurgy, industrial and manufacturing was going on. All this stuff was going on, which, you know, that's man's accomplishments, right? So Genesis chapter 4 was a picture of society and development of civilization. The city, which leads to the flood. Genesis chapter 5 is the graveyard chapter we're going to look at of the Bible. It takes you through the descendants of Seth very, very quickly. And there's one generation after another generation. You run six successively generations, and he died, and he died, and he died. And then you come to a guy named Enoch, and Enoch is the only one that breaks that funeral chain, if you will. Instead of dying, it says he was not, for God took him. Hebrews 11 says that he translated that he should not see death. Now, so you have six generations of death, and then Enoch is raptured out of there. And you have in chapter 5 a dispensational picture of six generations of death, a picture of six prophetic days of man's failure and rebellion, followed by the rapture, the judgment, chapter 7, and then you'll see a millennial rest in the kingdom. Genesis has all these little pictures that later you'll see how they laid out themselves, you know, how they laid out. Chapter 5, Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. This is the book of the generations of who?
Adam.
Hold your finger there and go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. There are only two books in the Bible of generations. Here's how you compare them. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, this is the book of generations of Adam. And Matthew chapter 1, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. There are 14 generations listed. The generations of heaven and earth and so forth. There are 11 of them in Matthew. There are 13 generations listed in the Old Testament. 13 is a number of what? What does it mean?
Rebellion.
Man's rebellion. Okay. And the very last word in the Old Testament of the King James Bible, you know what it is? You know it off the top of your head?
Curse.
And that's because the law is a curse. Okay? And you think about there are 39 books in the Old Testament. That is 3 times 13. 13 is the number of rebellion. Genesis chapter 14, verse 4, it is a rebel number, a number of rebellion in the Bible. And when you come to the 14th generation, it is a generation of Jesus Christ. And that's 2 times 7. What's the number 7 mean?
Perfection.
Perfection. So you get double perfection. And it's interesting how things like that works out. But the book of the generations of Jesus Christ in Matthew 1 is exactly the opposite of the book of generations of Adam in Genesis chapter 5. After everybody's name in Genesis 5, look at the last, you hold your finger there, what was it, Genesis 5. After verse 5, he died. Verse 8, and he died. Verse 11, and he died. Verse 13, and he died. Verse 17, and he died. And verse 20, and he died. Right through he died, death, death, death. Do you know what you get when you're in Adam?
Yeah.
All in Adam what?
Dies.
And all die, but in Christ, everybody's what?
Made alive.
Made alive. And so in Matthew chapter 1, and bear with me for some of these names, Adam begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares. Beget. See that? Beget. Mm-hmm. You know what the word beget means?
It gave
life to. And nobody dies in Matthew chapter 1. Everybody has life given to them. And when Adam gives it to what Adam gives to his boys and the descendants in chapter 5, all die. And Christ all made alive. That's a good comparison, right? Go back to Genesis chapter 5. Verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in his likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he him and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. So right there, it's Mr. and Mrs. who?
Adam.
Very good. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now the time element, we can talk about it, we can argue about it, this really doesn't matter. But the time element in chapter 4, verse 7 is Adam is how old? How old did he say he was? 130 years old. Time element is, let's see, what was four? And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth, and for God, she said, have appointed me another seed instead of Adam, this Abel, who Cain slew. But what I'm trying to get at is where did I lost my place here?
Adam lived 930 years.
Okay, but you don't know where that fits. What I'm trying to get at: 130 years old when he gave up. Genesis 5 when he says Adam's 130 years old, right? That might be back in Genesis 4:12, along in that area when he actually gave birth, or that age. Not Adam, but okay. But if Seth replaced Abel, here's where we're going. As the seed, he must have been the next boy born, right? Mm-hmm. And so 130 years could have been much earlier than what we're reading here. That's what I'm saying. It's going back to the account of Seth. And so, anyway, the time element is not there, but Adam was 130 years old when Seth was born, right? That's what verse 3 says. Yeah. Verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and after his image, and he called his name Seth. We can't forget that. Adam was created in the image of God. In the image of God created he him. And Adam begat his sons and daughters in the image of who?
Himself.
Adam, yep. In his own likeness, after his image. When you think about, hold your finger there, and if you want to look at Romans chapter 5, we got a verse there. If you want to write it down, that's fine. 1 Corinthians chapter 15:22 also. But Romans chapter 5, verse 12, ought to be written down in the margin of the Bible by this verse we're looking at in Genesis. And we need to remember those verses because it says right here, Romans chapter 5 verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for all have sinned. Why? Because of Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For all in Adam, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So when you think about Adam in his own having kids after his own likeness and stuff, that's what these references of. You're going to die in Adam. You know, we tell people all the time, everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to die once. But you don't want to die that second death. That second death is that fire and torment and hell for eternity. Now, there's some doctrine going around that trying to convince people that when it's all said and done, Jesus reconciled the world. He died. He shed his blood before the foundations of our world. So everybody's going to be saved, even Satan. Now, if that's the case, while we're up here, while we want to share the gospel, if everybody's going to be reconciled to God, everybody's going to be saved when they die. That's not true. You know why God created hell, don't you? For his, who is that? For his devil. So what he has to do, he enlarged hell because people goes to hell because they don't believe. And God don't send anybody to hell. You send yourself to hell by rejecting the gospel, the grace of God. And you know, that's why it's very, very important today. People need to understand that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, and it takes you out of Adam and puts you in Christ. Now, we've been believing a lot of strange beliefs since we've been born, ain't we? We watched a lot of our parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts. They believe anything. I'm looking at you guys right now. Some of you come from large families. I guarantee you if everybody believed the same thing you believe right now, this, where are they at? They believe. That's why God don't violate your free will. But when, you know, it's hard to say. You know, I've talked with people. You mean to tell me my grandmother's in hell right now because she didn't? We don't know if she didn't believe the death, burial, and resurrection. I said, this is what God says. She might have believed it, and then she jumped into religion, that kind of thing. So you never know until you ask somebody. So it's very, very important to understand that this is the gospel. And I know what people looks around in the world right now and they see, well, God's chosen people who? What? When you, his who?
Israel.
And then you think about what Paul says. He says there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. Oh, but it's the same gospel. And you got to think about that stuff, and you just got to look and say, this is what God says. Lady I talked to on the phone, you know, I talked about what apostle do you follow today? Outside of Jesus Christ, what apostle do you follow today? And she said, Jesus Christ. I said, outside of Jesus Christ, which apostles do you follow today? Peter, he gave apostles, and they're there for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I said, Paul wrote 13 books, and this is where we got the information about wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all man. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody out there, I believe what the Bible says when God, he says God's not a respecter of person. If he respected you and not you, there's something wrong here. So God says everybody's down here now. Jew, Gentile, bond, free, male, female, doesn't matter. This is where everybody's at. And you don't get, once you get saved, you don't elevate up here in Israel status. Y'all know the chart. So you're born in his likeness, in Adam's likeness. Mm-hmm. And you are made in the image of God, but the image has been, what do we say? Marred. We're faced. We're marred with sin. And people are not created or born in the image of God today. That might be hard for people to understand, because I ask that question over and over and over. God created Adam in his own likeness, and then Adam created kids in his own likeness. So which is it? And we're born in the image of Adam today. And they have to be remade in God's likeness. You know, Israel, God's son. Well, you know about born again. people tells you all the time, you got to be born again, got to be born again. There's a movie out right now called The Blind. And I was reading about this, what this man is saying. Have you heard The Blind? You ever heard of Phil Robinson? Mm-hmm. He's got his own movie out. And going through his history, and he's talking about for 50 years he's been baptizing people in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, and they need to come to the kingdom and realize that we're priests to further the kingdom. Well, being baptized in the blood of Jesus Christ, that's awesome. You know, you trust Christ died for burying rose again, you identify with his baptism, his death, and all that stuff. But to be the priest thing, and expanding the kingdom of God, that's Israel's program. You know, and people saying they're watching a movie and they're going out and getting baptized right afterwards. And you think about how good that could be in a religious system. And you think about, oh, if they only knew the one baptism. And we get caught up in the one baptism, and there's 12 baptism, and people says it's the same, it's water, 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 that type of thing, and it's not. And if you understand all this stuff through what Israel's program, it's a ceremonial cleansing. Did Jesus Christ have sin on him?
No.
You know that to be true. Then why was he baptized?
Just to make himself eligible for the priesthood.
Then why would be other people be baptized the way Jesus, because Jesus did it? It fits the priesthood, but we're not a kingdom of priests.
Yeah.
See, so when you got to be born, you got to be, well, some people say you got to be born again to get out of that image of Adam. How about recreated? How about our new creatures?
Right.
You know, that's far much better, because I'm something brand new what God is doing. Verse 4, Genesis chapter 5, verse 4. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, was 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. Adam begat more sons and daughters in whose image? What kind of image?
A fallen
image. Verse 5. And all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now, Adam is the first man to die a natural death here that is recorded in the Bible. He died at the age of what?
930.
You could say he's an old codger, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
you see that old man. I told you about this story, and there's a place in West Virginia called Hundred. And it's down in nowhere. And how it's got its name was when the train comes by, Hundred, if I'm not mistaken, he was a fought in the Revolutionary War. I think he fought with the British, maybe. But he ended up becoming an American, and he moved there. And when the train goes by, the conductor says, "There's old Hundred. He's 100 years old." And they named that town after him. So you probably think about old people around like 100, yeah, 200. How about 930 years old? And, you know, and Genesis chapter 5, verse 6. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. And Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth was 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan. And Enos lived after he begot Canaan 815 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days, we're in Genesis chapter 5, verse 11. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begot, help me out here. Is that Hawaiian?
That's a mouthful.
Mahalalel.
There you go. I said that. You said that. Very good. And Canaan lived and begot Mahalalel 840 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared, the same as Arad back in chapter 4. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And the days of Mahalaleel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Now, every bio there says the same thing afterwards. What'd he do?
He died.
They died. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. The question arises here, sometimes, you know, why did they live such long? So you had 930 years, you had 912, you had 905, 910, 895, 962, 969, and so on. How did they live that long? And there are all kinds of ideas, you know that. Somebody says those were really wasn't years, they was months.
Sure.
Yeah. So if they were months, you really have a problem here because Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. Enos was 90 when he begat Canaan. 90 is divided by 12 would mean the boy, you would have a boy at 7.5 years old having kids. Now, them ain't dog years. And it won't work. Somebody also said you take the hundreds, which really means tenths, so take the zero away. In other words, Adam was 930 years old. You take the zero away, that makes him 93. But look at Seth. Seth is 105 years old, so that means he was 10.5 years old when he begat Enos. So, you know, these things don't work. Now, anybody heard the book called The Genesis Flood? By Wellcome and Morris, okay? They have an explanation of longevity. And there's three reasons. There's many reasons why, but here's three of them you can think about. Different atmospheric conditions. You probably hear that the most, right? Oh, they was beautiful before the flood. Nothing was changing. Second Peter chapter 3 says this. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in stored, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. So notice the heaven and earth that were of old, what? Was it preserved or perished?
Perished.
It went perishing. This is the heaven and earth before the flood. Chapter 2, verse 5 says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and eight persons of the preacher righteousness, bringing the flood into the world of the ungodly. Now the idea of this is a certain kind of makeup of planetary systems and climates and so forth. The planet before the flood. The climatic atmospheric conditions were changed at the flood. And this was tremendous change that took place at the atmosphere. You know what I'm talking about, the orbit, the earth, the axis, and all that stuff, and it took place at the time of the flood. You know very well that today, different climate conditions where people live affect how long they live. Y'all know that. Mm-hmm. You know, that type of thing. Number two, at the time, there was no disease or sicknesses on the earth to kill people. Exodus chapter 15 verse 26, if you're taking notes, I'll read it for you.
What verse?
Exodus 15:26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon Egypt, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. This indicates in the Bible is that until God smote Egypt, people got old and died, but they didn't get sick with physical sicknesses, and like colds, flu, rheumatism, cancer, and all kinds of things. But there's no indication that these things existed, okay? They probably didn't exist until God brought Israel out of Egypt. The third one is, there are no world wars then. And there are no political structures that would allow the global conflicts that's going on in the world and has gone around. So there's no internationalism at that time. And if you can go with all kinds of different ideas. So you have those bios, everybody dies until you come to Enoch. And when you come to Enoch, chapter 5, verse 21, you come to somebody who is different. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch was 360 and how many years? Five. Is how many usually on the calendar year? Days. I find that interesting. Unless it's a leap year, right? But there's 365 days in a year. He lives 365 days, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, Jude says Enoch was the seventh from Adam, and that was, he is Adam, one, Seth, two, and six generations to Enoch. And the picture of the six prophetic days, like we're talking about, and man's failure, man's rebellion, and that was followed by Enoch, the type of a rapture taken out of here, and the judgment of the flood, and the seventh day of millennial rest. So there's a dispensational kind of picture there we know now, looking back, and seeing what God had on his mind all along. But notice verse 22. Verse 22, everybody knows that Enoch walked with God, right? Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible says. But notice the next word. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Enoch walked with God, but his walk with God began after the birth of Methuselah. The birth of Methuselah was an event in the life of Enoch. Why? Who knows? You know. But it's something that changed his life, and something happened that revolutionized Enoch and caused him to walk with God. It's interesting that all them generations, we looked at Cain, and then you had people beget to call on the name of the Lord. Remember, right after all that stuff is going on. Now you got all them generations coming out. Now you got somebody walking with God that didn't walk. Something caused him to walk with God. Now, what caused you to walk with God? Something happened in your life to make you want to follow Lord Jesus Christ and his word. Something's happened in your life. Something, you know, it could have been a death of a parent. It could have been, you know, you went to church and you was convicted that you heard the gospel, you know, that type of thing. Something happens to people that makes them want to walk and want to understand God, right? I mean, that's typical. So the only person in the Bible that it says walked with God is who?
Enoch. Well,
yeah, Adam. And Noah, Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, Enoch was a contemporary for about 300 years of Adam. And Adam walked with God in the cool of the evening in the garden. Now, whether he got that information from Adam enough, who knows. But Enoch had that opportunity. He walked with God in a different way after Methuselah was born. What happened to Enoch that changed his perspective is embodied in the name of Methuselah. You know, you break Methuselah down in two parts. What's the first part? What is it?
Methu.
Okay. And then you have what?
Selah.
Okay, got it? The first part is when he dies. And the second part, he shall come. So when he looked at his son's name, he said, he shall die, he shall come. And when he dies, it's obviously the judgment of the flood, that the judgment of God against mankind was what? It's going to come. You're going to die. And when Methuselah is gone, what happens?
Some days later it came.
The judgment will come. As long as Methuselah was alive, God was holding back. You know, God was holding back. They probably saying, please don't die, Methuselah. Please don't die, Methuselah.
How's he feeling?
Yeah. Keep him alive. Keep him breathing. Keep him breathing. First Peter 3:20 said, talks about the long suffering of God waiting in the days of Noah. And the long suffering was demonstrated by the Methuselah. Hey, that is what Methuselah became the oldest. That's why he became the oldest man that ever lived in human history that's recorded. And it was just, you know, it was God's long-suffering waiting in the days of Noah. Verse 25, and Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. When Methuselah was 187 years old, his boy was born. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son. Lamech begot who? Who was his son?
Noah.
And he was 182 years old. And if you add 187 plus 182, Methuselah was 369 years old when Noah was born. So he's still got a long way to go. Keep living.
600 years.
So there's a long period of time going there and probably getting people understand what God is and what God is doing and all that stuff. Now, if you think about if God's long-suffering today, let's keep reading. Genesis chapter 7, verse 6 says, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. So Noah, at the age of the flood, was 600, adds 369, and Methuselah was how old when he died?
969.
When the flood came. You want a math book? You want a science book? We got one of the greatest books that ever was written in front of you right now. And you can't make this stuff up. And verse 27, chapter 5, verse 27, and all the days of Methuselah was 969, and he what? Died. When Methuselah died, the flood came. And God Almighty gave Enoch a revelation for this day, for his day. Enoch was a preacher about the judgment of Almighty God and delayed that judgment. You think about that. Him out there preaching, it's coming. Here's what my son's name is. It's coming. And it's coming. And it's coming. And he's preaching it. And he's preaching it. Jude 14 says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Do you get the idea that somebody that was ungodly in Enoch's day? Whole bunch of people. Every other word coming out of his mouth is ungodly. Ungodly. Enoch prophesied of the judgment and wrath of Almighty God that was going to come on ungodly people. And he also had a revelation about the delay of the judgment that was demonstrated in the presence of his son, Methuselah. There's a lot of good stuff in that. Mm-hmm. What's holding back God today? What's a long suffering?
Us.
Okay?
More
And a lot of people say the body of Christ is holding back. You know, he that's letteth and all that stuff, they say it's a body of Christ. You know, you can say it's Satan's holding things back. You can say the last Gentile being saved in the body of Christ could be holding it back. You know, but God right now is long-suffering. And what should we be preaching out there?
Christ.
Hold your finger there for a second before we move forward. Where am I going with this? 2 Corinthians. Let's see if it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because thus we judge if one die for all, then we are all dead. And he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now who's he talking about, Paul?
Jesus Christ.
So what's henceforth, what should you believe? How should you live? Not unto yourselves, but unto one that died.
Right.
Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. When did you know Lord Jesus Christ after the flesh?
The Old Testament, Matthew, Mark, and John.
In his earthly ministries. That's how you got to know Jesus Christ. But what does it say? Henceforth, we know him no more in that condition.
Right.
But so what do you know him as?
Risen Lord, come Lord.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, is that past tense? Has that already happened?
Hath.
Yes. To wit, why? Why are you doing this? God, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Could you not say that God's long-suffering, he's not imputing trespasses to sin, and you got to minister reconciliation, and you should go out there and witness that God is in Christ not reconciling trespasses and sins to you, and telling these people this? He's long-suffering before the great day of the Lord. You know, Enoch probably did the same thing. Hey, guys, it's coming. I'm walking with God right now, and he's telling me this. And then Enoch has a son. What does he do? The idea, you get the idea that was somebody that was ungodly in Enoch's day. Or there's somebody ungodly in today's day. There's always going to be ungodly people from the time Adam's fall until God creates the new heaven and earth. Ungodly people. I'm saved. What does it matter? You know, that type of thing. You can get in that situation and say, I'm there. Who cares about anybody else? Who cares if my neighbor hears anything? I've been in that situation, talking to people and all that stuff. And you're just like, hey, have you ever thought about this? Just ask the question. What are you scared of? We used to call people on that phone when we started that church, 22,000 people, and it got intimidating. He was like, I hope they don't answer the phone. You know, because I'm afraid they're doing. Now, these telemarketers call you up. They're 150,000 miles away. Some of them's on another planet. And they call you up, and, you know, they're not scared to ask you, do you need to renew your auto insurance? you know what I mean? They're not scared. Hello. And they'll sit there, hello. That's our job. And you're afraid to call somebody up and say, listen, I ain't talked to you in a while. I just need to know. My days are numbered here. We're all numbered. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to be here forever. I just need to know, what do you trust in the Christ? What do you trust to get to heaven? Well, you know what I trust in. You hear all kinds. No, I need to hear from my own. I've forgotten what you told me. And every other word, like I said, and there's a judgment delayed coming to demonstrate in the presence of his boy. In Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to wrap this up in just a second. Hebrews chapter 11, God had given Enoch a special revelation about his coming wrath and about the delay in the wrath that is wrath. Do you think Paul got a special revelation? Mm-hmm. And the delay represented in Methuselah living. But he also got another revelation, chapter 11, verse 5. But by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had a testimony that what? Pleased God. Enoch knew that as long as Methuselah was alive, the flood would not come. You know, as long as the Lord tarries, what's going to happen? God's not coming. You should know, but every day of grace, it didn't extend it. It just moved this a little bit further. Mm-hmm. Another day, another day, another day. The Lord's tarrying. And God's long-suffering and was waiting. Enoch knew that, and God's long-suffering was waiting in the days of Noah. That's what it says. And as long as Methuselah's alive, it demonstrated that long-suffering God waiting, suffering long. That is why the man is the longest man to ever live, and the longest suffering of God just patiently, patiently outliving every man. It takes patience. It takes patience to build a church. A lot of people just want that instant church. Look at us. We've got a building. We've got organs. We've got satellites or whatever the case may be. Instant church. We've been a part of that. When you call 22,000 people and 1,700 people said they'll be there, that's pretty much instant. You know, that type of thing. And when it happened. We was like, praise God, you know. But as you got through doctrine issues and you started working through some things, they went out the door. And that's usually when the preacher man tries to change some things to keep people there. You know, and that's not pleasing. But anyway, Enoch didn't do that, did he? God's patience. But he also had a revelation about his own escape. He was going to be caught out. He was not going to see the judgment to come. Now, many of us are alive. We'd much rather for the Lord Jesus Christ come now, take us out alive, than take the dirt nap. But what we know about the people that's taking the dirt nap in Christ, what happens to them? The dead in Christ rise first. Praise God. Hallelujah. And do you know who the shortest man who lived in Genesis chapter 5 is?
Shortest lifetime?
Life man. The shortest man who lived.
Enoch.
Not the guy on the shoe. What's it called?
Shoe height.
Enoch. He lived 365 years. Imagine that. 1 year days that we count. Do you know how many days they are in 1 year? I just mentioned that. He lived 1 year for every day. He lived one complete cycle. Then God took him out. In Hebrews 11:5, but faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. And for before his translation, is that right, transition? He had this testimony that he pleased God. That's something to think about. And there are only two men in the Bible of whom says they pleased God. He is one of them. And there are only two men in the Bible that did not see death, and he was one of them. And he's the only two men in the Bible who of whom says he walked with God. He was one of them.
Who started at the point?
Jesus Christ.
That's a good idea.
He died on the cross.
He pleased God.
Yeah.
Let's tune in next week and we'll find out. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.